It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than a bullet to the head. You can join our chat room, the Den Pen, by going to davinsden.com and clicking chat and listen live. If you're listening to one of our affiliates, simply open up a new window in your browser and type in davincomedy.com. Go to the Davin's Den page on the bottom, click on that, and click chat and go. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. Out of studio, but joining us nonetheless, Pip Helix.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Pip. And Joe will be here tonight, though not for quite some time, from what I am told. So, Joe will be here. Pip won't be here.
Please, he'll be here.
Yeah. That's you guys don't really show up very often anymore. That's what this has become.
You know what? What's the common denominator in that?
You guys.
No, you.
Not me. I'm here. I'm doing my job.
I'm doing my job. I'm just doing it from my remote secret lair.
Yeah, you're not doing it as well. It's better when you're here.
I know, but if this is the best we're going to do, would you like me to come up there and, like, lick all of your items so that you get my cooties?
No, just be up here and don't lick your items. My items. You don't. When you're healthy, you don't lick anything, so why would you lick them when you're sick? What is this, spite?
Because I was made to go there. That would be why.
Oh, no. No, I mean, you know, you gotta nut up. You bring your bucket and you go. Let's go.
I can't nut up. I don't have nuts.
No. You clit up.
Okay.
You clit up. You bring your little bucket. You bring a tarp, things that you should always have with you anyway.
And, yeah, I should.
And, you know, you get up here. You do the show. That's what you do.
You know what? I think that just me being away from you with my cooties coursing through my veins is a special service that I have done to the show. You should actually be thanking me.
I just always assume whenever I see you, there's cooties coursing through your veins.
But they're extra special, virulent cooties this time.
Yeah, I think I'm immune to everything you may dish at me, both good and bad.
Well, you know what? I've probably given you a much healthier immune system just by proximity, so thank me for that.
Really? You think that's what it is?
I think that's what it is.
Well, but you don't really expose yourself to me when you're ill.
Hey, now don't tell all our secrets.
Anyway, on the show, we'll look at violent speech and the effects it has on behavior, a great debate of absurdity involving comedian Bill Maher and Jeff Dunham. Joe will update us on his housing situation, scamming scammers with Jane, and scam busters with Ann Jackson. Doing the regular show tonight for as long
as we can,
or until we decide not to.
Lisa says it would be a spite lick if I licked all your stuff.
That's what I said. I said that.
Oh, you said that? Yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't hear you say that. I thought it was her brilliance.
No, it was not her brilliance. It was my brilliance and her hackery.
Sorry, I didn't say that, Lisa. He did.
Yes, it's I'm used to people trying to glom onto my brilliance, though. It's fine. It's fine, Lisa. Dry your wings under my brilliance. It's fine.
It happens.
Sure, that's what everybody does. They crowd around my brilliance.
You know, like a shiny thing that we want to bring back to our nest.
Yes, we had a robin's. My wife and daughter are so stupid.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why I could say that, but no.
well, specify for the show.
So, I guess like a week or two ago, they found like a robin egg in the middle of the yard, which is like a little blue egg. I guess there was a storm and they thought like it blew out of the nest.
Right.
So, they left it there for a couple of days, hoping like the robin would come back and take it. Like robins have like shovels or hands. I don't know how they thought that was going to happen.
I don't know, but go on.
Yeah, so it's sitting there in the middle of the backyard for a few days. And robins come and go. No robin showed interest in the blue egg. Maybe it was a redheaded stepchild egg. I don't know.
It was a red-breasted stepchild.
Yes. Yes. So then they decide to bring it in the house and put it in a nest. And my wife's like, well, no. Like, when I held it, it felt like something was moving. Did it? Nothing's moving. Well, once the egg is away from the robin's warmth for a period of time and you fluffed it in the backyard, nothing's moving. This is just your stupid imagination running wild with you.
It's possible, I guess. It's been warm enough out, hasn't it?
No, this is a couple of weeks ago. So there were some There were some chillier nights.
Oh, yeah, probably not then.
There were some chillier. So then after nobody takes after the robins do not claim their egg, nor do any Easter egg hunters claim the egg.
No little elves came off and grabbed it for a tremendous omelet.
No, Jeff Sessions did not show up to grab the egg.
That's disappointing.
It is very disappointing. So then they decide to bring the egg inside, and they put in like a box, and I guess they make a makeshift nest, and then it's sitting on my counter for a week, and they still have it under the delusion that it might hatch. It doesn't even have like an iguana heat lamp or something that you would do. No, but neither one of them climbs onto the little counter to sit on the egg. There's none of this effort is going into this. They just think magically, because their heart's in the right place, that this robin will hatch. And once it does hatch, they're going to know what to do, because they're going to eat worms and regurgitate it into the robin's mouth.
I think this is sort of like, you know, they felt bad for it, but they, you know, this is, I have to admit, this is kind of a half-assed plan.
No follow-through.
Yeah. It is one of those things that you, Lisa says they were waiting for you to sit on it.
No, because I scoffed immediately at this absurdity.
You couldn't tuck that up between the butt cheeks for a little while?
I could have, but the egg would not have remained blue. I will leave it there.
Oh, God.
But no.
Yeah, that's not robin's egg blue.
No, I scoffed at the absurdity when they left it in the middle of the backyard for a few days. Then when they...
Yeah.
Then when they brought it inside, and then in a last ditch effort, they made like a little nest, and then they put it in a plastic bowl, so it had like straw and stuff, and then in a plastic bowl, and they put it on the table on the back deck.
I thought you guys didn't do Easter.
We're doing it late. We're doing a very Greek Easter.
Very, very Greek.
Very, very. Jersey Diner Greek Easter is what we're doing.
I know. It's like so late.
Yes. So then they leave. Yes.
Yeah, that's probably where it went sideways in the first place, was assuming that once it's out of the nest and sitting on the lawn, that there's a way for them to get it back in the nest.
Apparently they feel, I guess in their claws, maybe, I don't know, but I've never seen a robin carry its own egg that way? I've seen a hawk carry eggs, you know.
Yeah, I'm surprised it wasn't snacked on long before.
Well, it was in the safety of our backyard. So then they leave it on the deck in the blazing sun.
I'm sorry, but you do realize that things fly into your yard on the regular.
I understand. including other robins, which showed no interest in it.
Okay.
So then it's sitting on the deck in the stupid hot sun on a glass table for a few days. So it's like now they want to hard boil it. I don't know what the hell they're doing.
It's one end to the other.
Whatever they're doing, none of it is correct. This much I know. But I let them have their fun because it's easier for me that way. And then I guess something took it, because the other day it was gone and the nest was strewn all over there, and the wife thinks it was a squirrel, and she thinks she knows which squirrel did it.
She thinks she knows which squirrel. Why, because he had egg all over his little face?
Yeah, a little yolk in his fur. No, because he was hanging out on the deck. So I was like, oh, this is the squirrel. I don't even know how a squirrel gets to our deck. Yeah, it's a lot of effort for a squirrel to get to our deck. We don't have trees by the deck.
But, no, I know. They're wily, though, and they can get their little claws in. You have wooden pillars underneath.
I do.
They can get their claws into that.
I guess.
Yeah.
So, So their grand experiment of doing next to zilch did not pay off.
Well, you know what? As Lisa says, they're well-meaning, and Joe's girl is saying, poor little egg.
Joe's girl could have hatched it if I'd known she had such an interest.
I don't think that any of our listeners would be interested in sitting around on a teeny tiny little egg for a while. I think that would be more of a putting it in your hand, your palm, and holding it all day long kind of thing.
Well, nobody in my house had that interest either. They had just enough interest to make a spectacle of things. That was the level of interest.
Can you imagine, like, trying to go about your day holding on to an egg in one hand?
Well, yeah, my daughter had to do that for black belt. And a lot
what
of
mean?
And a lot of times in high school, you have to do that when they simulate the baby. You have to carry around, like, my daughter had to carry around an egg for a week wherever she went and make sure it didn't break as part of her black belt test.
Oh, well, there's that, but I mean actually keeping it warm, so you have to keep it, like, in your hand or something.
Oh, well, no, I don't know about that.
Yeah, that would be a little difficult.
I don't know. Plenty of broads seem to walk around with eggs. Nobody's the worse off for it, so it's possible.
I'm just kind of picturing driving around with an egg in one hand, like presumably raw egg.
Now, how many points is that ticket? I know you can't drive around with a phone in your hand, but can you drive?
Is it distracted driving if you're trying to hatch an egg?
I don't know.
Any listeners who happen to be know this part of the penal code?
Yes. So
get in the chat room and let me know.
So
well, yeah. Lisa, tuck it in your bra. That's a good idea.
It looks like you got one protruding nipple then. They're not very
no,
big.
No, no. There's you don't wear one, so maybe you don't realize, but like there's a pocket in between the breasts where the bra kind of pokes out a little
there's
bit.
There's a what now?
Yeah, in between your boobs, there's an area of bra that kind of like pokes out a little, kind of like a bridge, and that's the place where I keep snacks for later.
Okay. Jesus Christ, I just thought it was filled with cleavage.
Well, no, there's cleavage, and then there's anything you're eating falls down into that little pocket no matter what you try.
You're a beast.
Snacks for later.
Nobody wants to hear about me having Fritos in my ball sack. What makes you think we want to hear about your cake and your tits? What is wrong with you?
Because they're boobs.
And they're balls.
That's more enticing.
Balls are lovely. A little Sharpay of the human body.
Yes, but the Sharpay get a little sweaty.
So do the boobs.
Not as much.
I don't know. I sucked on tits that tasted sweaty. I'm not going to lie.
Well, what was it, August?
You know, my breast sucking is not a seasonal thing. Whenever they're presented, I go. It's not like, oh, no, honey, it's too humid out. Let's wait till December. I mean... Because chances are she's not going to be around come December, especially if I give her that answer.
Complain.
What?
And don't complain about a little sweat taste.
I don't listen. I don't complain to them about it.
Oh, good.
No, because
that's
I
really good.
You, it'd be offensive. It's like a woman complaining about the taste of your junk. Listen, we know it's not good. Nobody should put their head down there. But
well, wait a minute. Now that just completely deflates, your argument about putting, like, Fritos down there by your junk. Nobody wants to be near that.
Well, they're my Fritos and my junk. Delicious. They don't sell...
They're not a snack for later. They're not a snack for right now.
They don't sell ball sweat flavor Fritos, so, you know.
You know what? You know those potato chips that they're always trying new flavors?
Ball sweat?
There you go.
I guess it'd be Lay's?
Ah, yeah.
See what I did there.
There's your million-dollar idea.
There it is. I will invest everything in that since the keeping the Blue Robin egg alive didn't work. I will now shift my focus.
Yes, do. And remember your friends.
I have none.
No, that's true.
Yes.
Sorry.
No, but I mean, boobs get sweaty.
Yeah, they do, but I mean, like, that little pocket...
The whole area, it's hot, it's part of the human body, plus they're like pressed up against your flesh, so they can't even get away like your fingers and toes, which are the external parts of your body that tend to be a little chillier.
It tends to get sweaty under the boobs, not the boobs themselves.
Interesting. Well, it's all part of the same thing. If I'm there, I'm going to partake in everything.
Okay. Well, that's interesting, too. Well, now we have your whole roadmap.
Well, I mean, listen. I mean, let's be honest about it. Some women have a lot more underboob than other women. I mean,
this is true.
I mean, some women really don't have enough for underboob.
Well, I'm getting older, so now there's like I could hide a whole village under this shelf.
That's where all the Christmas candy goes.
Oh, is that what that is? I was smelling this very faint, like pepperminty smell for a while now.
It was actually an improvement.
It was. But, you know, you stick one under each; it helps a lot.
Yeah. So.
Especially in August.
So I guess to your point, I guess that would be a warm place to keep them.
Yeah. Right in the nuzzle pocket, right in the middle. Women keep their phones in their bras, for God's sake.
I got to admit, though, if I knew a chick had an egg, like, sitting right there in the middle, I'd be very tempted to pancake him. Very tempted.
Yeah.
I'd run afterwards, but be very tempted.
You better.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. You don't stay in chat after that action.
No, that's SWAT and go.
But, yeah.
Much like chat and go, but it's SWAT.
And go.
Go!
Yeah, I would like to do that to somebody.
Well, I'm not going to wear an egg in my bra just to placate you.
Why not?
Because I don't roll that way.
You should roll that way.
I know. I should do anything for the show. But I there
Forget
are
about the show. I'd like you a lot more as a person if you would.
No, I don't think that's possible because the nadir, there's no place to go from there.
Sure.
Down or up.
Well, listen, you know what you got to do.
Put an egg in my bra.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was their stupidity, which I watched from afar in judgment.
Well, you know, it happens, and people want to do the right thing. They want to help nature. We usually end up doing the absolute wrong thing to help them, so we should just, like, leave nature figure it out. But I have the same impulses. I want to help creatures. I don't know what to do with them.
They should have just left the egg there and waited for me to mow the lawn. Problem solved.
Oh, man. Well, you know, we had bunnies in our lawn one year.
We have bunnies in my lawn every friggin' day.
Don't you? But I mean baby bunnies in a nest.
Yes, we have baby bunnies, although we don't have the nest in our backyard. We have baby bunnies. It's friggin' wild. I got a chipmunk hanging out in the front yard in our little garden box, which I took pictures. It's fucking wild America out here.
Oh, yeah. No, I just saw the gigantic, mean groundhog eating some of the weeds that I've been trying to get rid of, and I was like, Yes, finally.
So he's not mean. He's useful.
I know, but he's mean if you go near him.
Well, because he's a wild animal, you asshole.
I know. I don't go near him because I know this.
Try going near me. I'll fucking bite you, too. I don't care.
And you have.
I have and I will. And it tasted sweaty.
Well, don't bite there anymore. What do I have to tell you?
I will not bite there anymore. But yeah, I mean, a sweaty tit is unpleasant. I'm not going to lie.
No, well, sweaty balls are no picnic either.
Yeah. I mean, it just if body odor had a taste, that's what's on your tongue. But you go, what do you do?
What do you do? I mean, what's the polite way to say, could you go, like scrub that down first?
There is no polite way.
There is no way.
But here's the thing. Because this has even happened the first time I've been with somebody. First time you're with somebody. But then again, I was going to say, you know, you got to prepare. But then again, it could be after a night of clubbing or whatnot. There's really no preparation. You come as you are. You know what?
Right. See what you did there.
I really shouldn't bitch. I shouldn't. I won't bitch. I won't bitch about sweaty boobs. But
no, because it's kind of, yes, it's whatever condition you're in, that's what you're going to get. And sometimes there's going to be a little bit of after the workout aroma.
It's not even the aroma. It's not an aroma. I've been with that. I've been with the funky girl too. I mean, yeah. Ay, enough.
I know, but it is kind of like you said. Now, if you're in a situation, I mean, when you're young and single, and you're like, okay, you're out at a bar or whatever, and you're let's just say that you're going to get a little backseat action going on. There's really no like, could you go freshen up first?
Yes, there is. Go to the bathroom, you animal.
Well, I mean, you do that yourself, but I mean, if the person you're with doesn't understand to do that.
Oh, then you know what? Then they're just a one-night stand.
Or if it even gets through that far.
Oh, it'll get through.
Stink is a deterrent. It's a biological deterrent for a reason.
I got to get my apartment again. I scored a lot more when I had my apartment. That's the move.
Well, you were single then, silly.
Well, that's part of it.
Yeah, that would be.
That seemed to be the strength.
Yeah, that seems to be a deterrent for you getting all the chicks.
I need to get my apartment again and go back to college. That's what I need to do for the rest of this year. That's going to be the move.
Oh, wow. I feel the middle-aged middle-aged crisis coming on. Ooh, smell that crisis.
Maybe I'll just, all right, maybe it's a little too obvious. Maybe I'll just enroll at Phoenix University and I can have my online midlife crisis. I can use somebody else's picture to be me.
Yeah, I'm in college. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's the move.
Yeah, why not?
And then I could chat with them online from my apartment.
That's not too creepy.
No, I still have my Aerosmith posters. I'm ready to go.
Just put those up. You're good to go. You know that they won't know who that old man is, don't you?
Probably not. Did you look at the link I sent you?
I didn't see that yet, but I saw the name of the link, but I didn't look at it yet.
Yeah. All right. So what's going on with you?
Well, I think just to prove your point, and I know that you'll have delicious fun with this, I am ill. And I got a stomach bug on Sunday, which precluded me from going out with my girlfriend, so I was kind of pissed off.
What were you eating on Sunday? Were you licking a raw chicken?
No, no. I don't think I mean, I don't know that it was anything I ate in particular. It was just that I started I was fine until I woke up, and I woke up okay, you know, trotted off to the bathroom like you normally do. And I went, oh, God, oh, God. And then hellishness was brought forth in all directions.
It's usually what happens when you show up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, so much. And then my body wasn't done with me. So it was like, turn around and finish up.
Yeah, I had that a little while ago.
Did you?
Yeah, I talked about it. Maybe several months ago.
Yeah, it's a good look.
Well, I mean, it's a great way to multitask.
How so?
Well, because you got it coming out of both ends. I mean, really, you're in the same place. You're doing two things at once. Great diet plan.
I know. It was quite a workout for my stomach, apparently, because it still hurts.
Yeah, you get great ab workout.
Yeah, you know what? I would have a six-pack if there wasn't so much of a shed already built over it.
Ah. The old shed.
The old shed. But, yeah, it was not pretty. And I have this great day planned going out with my friends. And I was looking forward to spending time with them, not being sick, because the last time I hung out with them, I was sick.
You just disappoint everybody.
I do. It was, it was on top of it. The last time, I don't think I told you about this, I got the bug bite from hell.
How do you think? Talk about a bad taste in the mouth. How do you think the bug felt? Ugh.
I know. Talk about biting things you shouldn't.
Get this bug. All of a sudden, the bug has the runs, just shitting all over the place. Puking and nobody likes a mosquito that pukes and shits on you and then bites you. What a lousy mosquito that is.
No, it bit me first and then it got the puke.
I understand. A bit, but it moved on to somebody else.
Oh, yeah.
It had to replenish. With all those electrolytes that only a human blood can bring. So it bites you, feeling fine. Within 24 hours, it feels queasy. Now it's flying, but not straight. It's shitting. It's puking. You know, it's just a mosquito making a mess in the air. Then it lands on somebody. Next thing you know, you got an itch and a fucking stain on your leg.
Wait a minute. That sounds like a bad date.
It does.
I've got an itch and a bad stain on my leg.
Or a good date.
Yeah, depends on how you look at it. So I was going down the shore with my girlfriends, and I a few days before that, I had felt like a little itch on, I don't know where you call this. Kind of my hip.
Oh, you didn't hear what I said. Okay, that's better.
Oh, I didn't hear it, but.
That's better off.
Oh, God. Oh, no. No, it's kind of my hip, I've been calling it my side butt.
Good and, Lord, how much butt do you have?
Oh, it's endless. It wraps all the way around. Everything is butt.
The never-ending butt. You see people like that have a front butt.
Front butt, side butt, back butt.
No, you see all, like they're so fat and they pull up their pants that there's like actual crack in the front of their pants. It looks like they got two asses.
That's not a good look.
No, it's most certainly not a good look. But I mean, there are people walking around like that. We call them Americans.
They're called the people of Walmart.
Well, I told you, I went to Walmart last week and the people were fine looking.
You know what? It's luck of the draw. Sometimes you can go in, out, everything's fine. Sometimes you go to one of these places and you're like, oh, hell no! It's everywhere.
I'm happy when that happens because then I'm the hot one, and that's a win.
That's a win for everybody.
Anywhere.
Oh, Joe's Girl mentions the ever-popular back boobs. Yeah, I like seeing that with somebody strapped so tightly into like a halter top or a bra that like there's back boobs spilling over the line there.
I told that story how I had to dump a girl because like we were like messing around. I don't remember. I think we had sex. It doesn't really matter anyway. But we were seeing each other for like at most 2 weeks. But at one point, we'd already messed around, and at one point she said, oh, I guess I don't have any more of the back fat or anything, or something like that. And I'm just like, it's over. In my head, I'm like, it's done. You can't say
that. Why?
What?
Why would you say those words?
Right! Right, so I'm not too shallow for just going, and we're out. I'm not too shallow.
No, I just immediately went, ugh!
Right, it's too much. If you have the back fat, that's fine. But don't address that you have the back fat.
Or don't say I don't have it anymore. Because now I have visions of the ugly beast that you once were.
Yeah, I don't bring it up. I don't go, hey, is that back fat? I'm not bringing that up.
No, it's just more boob to grab, right?
You know, I'm already doing stuff with you, so I'm already into you, or at least have a use for you. Don't fucking kill it.
I know. Well, the thing is, I think there are a lot. Women seem to be the ones who get the rap for this, but men are probably just as insecure about their bodies, about certain things.
Oh, completely. I walk around in body armor for a reason.
Right. It's like, don't, you know what? Don't mention it. Don't point out your lesser points, but don't point out the things that you're insecure about, because now everybody's looking at that. They perhaps didn't notice before.
It's hard. I say, hey, look at my huge cock. That's what I do. And
you know what? That's a bright way to go.
That is the right way to go. Now, I get it, though. I get the insecurity of the body and the body image and fumbling for something to say and then just saying the absolute wrong thing and drawing attention to it.
Right. Right. It's like, you know, does that nose hair come in any other colors?
Yeah, green.
Yeah. Everybody's done, you know, the embarrassing, like, first time fumbling around with somebody, embarrassing, you might say something awkward. But don't say, oh, you know, God, did you happen to feel my giant mole with hair? Don't.
You know what I like? You know what I like to play with chicks? I like to play Marco Molo.
You start.
Marco.
Molo.
Marco.
Molo.
Marco.
No.
Marco.
Molo. Oh, now it's come out of its cave and eaten you at that point.
Oh my God! Look at the unihair on that thing.
Look at the eyeball.
Yes. Gross.
It's not good. Don't you know? Hey, do you think that these toes make me look like a monkey? Now all I can see is friggin' monkey toe.
Yeah, don't bring up your worst qualities. That's a good point.
Don't just say, God, is this rack as big as I think it is?
God damn, my tits are huge. You're lucky to be with me, ma'am.
Yeah, look at when I jump up and down. Do they bounce a little bit, or more than a little?
Yeah,
it's mesmerizing.
You gotta sell yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's hard to.
I have a friend that used to say, "If you got the tits, use them."
Yeah.
I was like, I found that very freeing.
It's hard though if you don't have a good self image. It's hard.
Well, I don't, but it's like, use what you got.
Yeah, absolutely.
You got to have something. You have to have one good eye.
I will let you know what I have. No, I know what mine is. Mine is my eyelashes. That is my selling point. I've been told I have very nice eyelashes. That's how I get the chicks.
You do have nice eyelashes.
You see? Thank you. You see that? That's how I distract you from all the other awful that's going on with me. I just bat my eyelashes, and you're mesmerized.
Well, see how kind I am? I didn't immediately go to the list of awful.
Well, I didn't allow you to.
Can you imagine?
We could play that game.
Oh, no.
But we have to wait till Joe's here.
Oh, then it would be more fun. No, I think that would be like a crash and burn moment. Oh, my God.
The list of awful. Things we found wrong about each other.
Oh, God.
And we would call that our last show.
Save that for the final show. The list of awful.
The list of awful. Brand new game.
And end game.
Wow. Yeah, that's rough. No, but I mean, you got to fake it. It's hard, though. I get it. You're self-conscious. You babble. You say the wrong things. And you come by shallow with somebody who's shallow like me. And I'm just like, this isn't going to work anymore. I didn't say that, though. You don't say, though, go, well, you know, we were fine until the back fat comment. You just, you know, things run their course.
Well, you know, Joe's girl just said that would be the never-ending show, the list of awful.
That's Joe's girl.
But you know what? The way you guys go, I don't think that we would be able to edit it. It would just go.
Oh, I haven't even begun with Joseph T. Curry.
give him a couple weeks to settle down. He's been through a lot.
I've been very nice to him through this time of transition.
Oh, yes. Well, I didn't finish telling you about my giant bug bite from hell.
No, that one on your side ass.
On my side butt.
Yes.
So I had this thing. It felt like, I don't know, it was like a little itchy. I forgot about it. The next day, maybe I felt like there was a tiny bump there. I thought, oh, it's, you know, a bug bite or something. I ignored it. So then comes the day that I'm getting ready to go down the shore. I take the day off from work, and this thing is bothering me. But it's in such a place that, I mean, I should have gone and just looked in the mirror, but it was just, it literally is in such a place that it's hard to see because my boob gets in the way.
You do have a husband. You do have a husband. He can look.
Well, that's what happened. I went, hey, can you take a look at this side over here?
By the way, that is a very difficult, good for you. I have that problem with that conversation myself.
What?
Having somebody look at what the fuck is going wrong with me? No.
I know. It's awkward, right?
Yeah, good for you for having it. I would just fucking die of leprosy. That would be my move.
Well, it felt raised and hot and very much more itchy than the day before. And I went, something's not right here. So I looked at it and I go, something going on here? And he's like, oh, wow, yeah. So I'm like, oh, boy.
And he hadn't even seen the bug bite yet. He was just looking at you.
Yeah, look down.
Below the shoulders, stupid. Below the shoulders.
Well, it ended up that my friends brought me to the, where we were staying at the shore didn't have an urgy center, so they brought me to, like, the little ER in a box. Mm-hmm. And I had to go there, and I got all this medication. They gave me antibiotics, steroids, antihistamines, you name it, I got it. I was taking drugs forever.
Nice.
The thing was, like, 5 inches long. By, like, 3 inches high.
Your Your bug bite was the average size of a cock.
3 inches wide, damn.
That's a girthy cock.
That's girthy. Yes, this was a girthy bite.
Nice. Well, maybe you had a family of, maybe you were like a fucking buffet.
I think I must have been. Yeah. Well, one of my friends is an RN, so that's why when I got down there, I was like, I took her aside, and I'm like, could you take a look at this? You know, I'm sorry, but does this look bad to you? And she's like, oh! And then she's like, this one, come here! Come here! Pretty soon, everybody's in the room looking at my ass like they're doing rounds, you know?
That's funny.
Oh, Christ.
That's funny.
That's why they're like, yeah, we're taking you to the ER today.
It's been a while since we had a story about your ass. Good to have it back.
I know, it's back, and actually now, that's been a while, I didn't get to tell the story right away, so my ass is back in action.
Your ass is back?
Still does have a little bump.
You have a bump?
Yeah, I have a little bump where the whatever it was bit me, it's still there.
Jesus, maybe something burrowed in.
Oh, God, I hope I took enough antibiotics since then I killed it.
Well, maybe you should go to a doctor.
I did go to a doctor, it was an ER.
Right, but maybe you should go back because it's still there.
Well, the bump is it's going to take a while for whatever, you know, python or something bit into me for that to heal.
I'll tell you what, that was an angry fucking bug. It was not that happy. It was not happy with whatever it encounters. Like, fuck this bitch. Chomp.
Chomp. Puh, puh. I'll get you, bitch. I'm gonna spike you with something.
You know what
awful.
It was? You know what it was? It was one bug, and then he calls over she calls over her husband. Does this ass taste funny to you? And then he takes a bite, and then that bug calls the kids. Kids, come here. Does this ass taste funny to you? So what it was is it was a whole family of bugs just biting your ass, trying to spite each other.
It's like, smell the milk. No, bite this ass. No. That's
what it was. When you drag a loved one into something that is awful.
This girl says, oh, God, you're making me itchy.
Here, take a bite out of ass. You'll be fine.
Yeah, right here. Chomp away. It's bulletproof now.
Your ass is like chewed on like corn on the cob.
Yeah, I might as well get a tattooed to cover this because, oh, my God.
I'll give you credit, Pip. Nobody talks about their ass more than you. God bless you.
I know. Well, when you got an ass like this, you got to talk about it.
I guess. I don't talk about my ass at all, but you make up for it. You do.
Well, things keep happening to it.
It's a very outgoing ass.
When I was in the ER, I said to, they send in, like, it took 2 minutes to treat me and it took an hour to do paperwork and to take my blood pressure and all kinds of other sordid nonsense. Well, one of the many people that came and went, I said, I don't know what you call this. I've been calling it my side butt. And she was trying to be professional, but she started laughing. And I'm like, I wonder if side butt made it to my chart.
She calls it your problem area.
Yes, it is.
We all have problems.
It was my extra special problem area that day.
I don't know if I have side
fire.
Butt. I don't think I have side butt. I don't know.
Well, I mean, just like put your hands down on either side of you, and they should hit your legs. Now go up until they're like on the other side of your butt. You got side butt.
That's your
hips.
It's your thigh.
Up from the thigh. Like that middle area between where it hits your trunk, but on the sides of you.
Your cheek. Yeah, man. I mean,
boobs. They dangle.
You're going thigh to cheek. That's what's going on over there.
Thigh to cheek.
That's what's going
on. No, on this, literally on the sides.
Yeah, it's cheek.
Not in the back.
It's cheek. Even on the sides, it's still cheek.
Well, it's hips, I guess.
I don't know.
I don't know, but you have it too. It's not as pronounced, but you have them.
I'll work on it.
You could go unbotched and they'll put some in for you if you really want.
Fantastic. All right. Speaking of ERs, I got a little story to tell.
Oh, tell.
So Wednesday evening, I get a call from my mom that my parents went to see Wonder Woman in the next town over on Tuesday night.
Yeah, okay.
And they came home and my father was complaining about double vision. So apparently he drove home from a town over with double vision. What could possibly go wrong?
Oh, my God. It's so far.
Well, I mean, she went, you'll know the towns, from Tenafly Movie Theater to Bergenfield. So, it's not not that far, but still, you know, you really don't want seniors cruising around at night as it is. You don't want to throw in double vision.
No, you really don't.
No. So my mother tries to get him to go to the hospital, but he claimed he was just tired because he wasn't sleeping, so he refuses to go. So my dad's still not feeling great on Wednesday morning. He goes into work. He's semi-retired. He goes into work. He comes home early, still with double vision, driving all over New Jersey with fucking double vision. Not.
I'm so glad I was home sick.
Yes. So he still won't go to the doctor. My mom calls me on Wednesday evening, And so I yell at him. I'm like, go to the doctor. Stop being a you're being an idiot. Go to the doctor. No, I just need rest. It's fine. Who the fuck does this with double vision? Unless you're drunk and you're used to it, who does this with double vision?
Nobody.
Exactly. Stupid. So then –
Oh, no. We're not talking about Joe.
Right. No. Oh, glad you said it. And then
– Oh, you usually do. I jumped in.
I did not. You know. So then – so he still won't go. So I got to go into the city on Wednesday night. I got a spot in the city. And so I get a call on the way into the city and from my mom. And they called my uncle, who's in Maryland, who's a doctor. And they tell my uncle what's going on. And my uncle's like, you need to go to the hospital now.
Yeah.
So three times a charm, stupid goes to the hospital.
Oh, finally.
Finally. My mom drove. So so they're in the
– Oh, wait. He didn't drive himself to the hospital with double vision too?
No. My mom drove. So I stop by Wednesday night, probably around midnight I get in over there, you know, because it's not too far out of the way coming back from the city.
Right.
So I pop in, and my dad's in the ER. And first of all, they had him sitting, like, in the waiting area for a few hours. Again, which is what you do with double vision. Like, it could be a stroke.
I know. It's like, is that great? Did he have any of the other symptoms? Maybe not.
I don't know. Somebody comes in with double vision. I might do something more than here. Fill this out.
You'd hope.
I would hope. So I get back there, and, you know, he's tired because he's not sleeping. But he still has double vision. The doctor comes in. They do a CAT scan, and nothing shows up. So they want to do an MRI. So he's gonna be admitted Wednesday night. He doesn't get a room until like Thursday during the day.
Ugh.
So he's in the ER the whole time because they're full.
Yeah.
So his doctor comes in. His doctor and a neurologist come in first thing Thursday morning, and they do some tests on him. So they want to order an MRI and an MRA, which is another type
of
test.
What the heck is that?
I don't know. It's another type of test to look for shit. Because they want to see, did he have a stroke? Is it a blocked carotid artery? What the hell's going on with him? So they order that first thing in the morning on Thursday.
So that's a magnetic resonance angiogram.
Right, of course.
Okay, so that's specifically for the blood vessels in the body.
Right, so they want to see if there's a blocked carotid artery in his neck.
Okay.
So that's what they do. All right, so they order first thing Thursday morning. And my dad's still waiting there. Now, they call this – he gets a room, but they call it a semi-private room. This is what do you think of when you think of a semi-private room?
I'm thinking that you have one other person in there.
You would think so. That's what I thought it was too. Eh, not so much.
Oh, no.
A semi-private room now is you're in this ward. You're in this ward, and there's like a big nurse's table in the middle of the ward. And you're separated from other patients with curtains – so there's no walls. There's no bathroom in with you. There's bright lights are on all the time, and you hear everything, including the other patients who I guess next to him was a drug addict who was moaning all the time. This,
oh my God!
How do you recover in such a place?
How, you know, that's kind of what the CCUs and the ICUs are like.
What's a CCU?
Cardiac care unit.
Yeah. So
it's like ICU specifically for cardiac care.
Maybe that's where he was. Maybe that's where he was because they didn't know if it was a carotid artery. I don't know. But like, how do you rest like that?
You don't.
So
you don't.
No, it's terrible.
Yeah.
So I talked to my mom later on Thursday afternoon. Like the doctor saw him like 8 a.m. So I talked to my mom later on Thursday afternoon. They still haven't come and done the test yet. He's been there since the night before. He's had symptoms since Tuesday.
What the hell?
So I'm like, all right, you know, give me the doctor's phone number. I'll place in a call. Because you know me, I'm going to fix shit. I don't know how I became that guy, but I'm now on that. Yeah, give me the fucking phone.
I kind of see how you got to be that guy, but go ahead.
Yeah, well, because initially I'm like, you take care of it. This is my move. Initially, anybody but me take care of it because I don't want to be bothered. But after it's been fucked up so much, give me the goddamn phone. I'll do it myself. That's I guess, has become my MO. Because my first inclination is I don't want to talk to anybody. Let me stay in my little potato bug ball over here and mind my own damn business.
But then, well, yeah, that's the inclination.
Yes, but then I see what's going on. I'm like, ah, for Christ's sake. And my mom's like, no, I don't want to bother the doctor. Bother the doctor? That's what they're fucking there for. They're there
really?
To be bothered.
That's why the squeaky wheel in the hospital.
Exactly. That's why they walk around with pagers. That's why they announce them over loudspeakers. That's why you pay so much fucking money.
Yeah, you be respectful, but you nag until it gets done.
Right. You nag it? Yes, exactly. You find out what the hell is going on. Now, keep in mind, my parents, especially my mother, are the same people that will get annoyed with a waitress at a restaurant. Because, you know, sometimes you get bad service. Sometimes you're sitting too long. Sometimes they don't give you the extra napkins you asked for. You know, sometimes they don't have the seat you want. And she'll, like, get it. I could tell she's annoyed. She's flustered. I could fucking see it on her face. And it makes me very uncomfortable because I am pretty much whatever at a restaurant until I'm like, all right, it's time to go. And unless it's like, you know what, we've been waiting too long, we're leaving, or the food doesn't taste good. Then I'm like, whatever. And then that's not really the waitress's fault necessarily.
That's the back end.
Yes, and I'm ready to go, and that's because I watch all these cooking shows. I'm like, this is not the way it's supposed to go. But they will complain to a waiter or a waitress who is not really making a lot of money and who really,
right.
at the end of the day, they're dealing with your soup, not your health.
Yeah, no, yeah, and, you know, there's only so much they can do about the food. They can go back and say, you know, fix something, but if they just have shitty food in this restaurant, well, then it's like, it's the manager and tell them they've got shitty food. You know, but don't take it out on the waitstaff. They can't help what the food tastes like.
Right, so they're more inclined to bother a waitress or a waiter, and I'm not. I'm just like, ugh, whatever. You know, I'm the type, I don't want to order something special. You know, I don't want to know if they can make substitutions. I'm not that guy. I'm like, here's the menu. Let me find something here. Let's get the food. That's me. But if it's important shit, I'll fix it. Like, as Joe will tell you, when we were flying to Nevada and Southwest Airlines announced we were flying to the wrong place. Sometimes I got to step up and fix shit.
I know. It's like, quick reminder, that's not where we're going.
Yes. Yes. And I feel there's been a lot of instances over the years where that we've talked about on this show where I've had to rectify situations that were not my doing.
Absolutely. Delisa's just said, Davin, you get stuff done.
I do get stuff done. Not well, but I get stuff done. Thank you, Lisa. So she doesn't want to call the doctor. You can't bother the doctor. I guess I don't know. They seem to have no problem bothering me, but whatever.
Yeah. No, that's sacrosanct. Bother him.
So then I go and see my dad. I go to visit my dad. I'm going to a Neil Diamond concert in a little bit, but I go see him. He doesn't have the Yes Network, I don't think, on his TV, and he's sleeping. So and he's up late at night. So I give him an AM radio so he can listen to the Yankee game.
Oh, that was nice.
Yeah. So I'm talking like, have you, so this is like 5 o'clock. I'm there. I'm like between 5 and 6, I'm visiting with him. And I'm like, have you had the test yet? No, don't have the test yet. I'm like, for God's sakes, why don't you have the test? Well, I don't want to bother anybody. And I give him the same thing. I'm like, are you fucking shitting me? You guys bother me all the time and don't have a problem with it.
A little artful, but true.
Very true. And again, I don't have the drugs or the treatment you need.
How do you know?
Because I don't.
Okay.
Unless you need to watch, if whatever ails you can be fixed by an old Disney movie on VHS. If that is what you need, I can fix that.
Wait. I'm dying. Son, hand me an old Aerosmith cassette.
I don't even have a lot of their cassettes anymore. I could give you.
Oh, look at that.
I could give you. I gave away all my cassettes years ago. Aerosmith cassettes. Because I had them on CD.
Hand me some Aerosmith supply. No, the CD.
I can do that. I'm your guy.
No.
I'm your guy. And you'll be happy and a little sad at the same time.
So sad.
But as far as treating a stroke or a carotid artery and finding out what the fuck is going on inside your body, I'm not the guy. It's not my area of expertise. I know my initials are DR doctor, but it's not really what I do.
They were so hopeful. But
they really were.
Tell me how you gave it to the doctor.
So I'm like, this is fucking ridiculous. What is wrong with you? Tell them. I'm like, you want me to tell the nurse? No, don't tell the nurse. Don't bother them. I'm like, okay. You can't bother anybody in the hospital, apparently.
Don't bother anybody. No, I know. They're very busy people and shouldn't be busy with you at all.
So I guess, so later on, I leave. And I guess my father decided to ask a nurse what was going on after I left. I guess I convinced him.
Right.
You know what happened with these tests?
What?
What do you think happened to the test, Pip? Take a gander.
They happened?
No. Well, no. I mean, why do you think he hadn't had the, why do you think he didn't have the test during the course of the day?
Oh, no. Is it because nobody ordered them?
The doctors didn't write it down on the fucking chart.
Are you kidding me? Then why were they keeping him?
Because they knew he had to be there for something, and they were charging for something, but the doctors didn't write it on the chart, so nobody, you know, did the necessary steps. Are you kidding me?
No. Oh, my God. So that whole time he's sitting there waiting for this to happen, and it's because nobody wrote it down?
Nobody wrote it down. Two fucking
doctors. And
nobody
thought to ask, well, why are you still here?
Nobody. Two doctors. A regular doctor and a neurologist. Nobody writes it down.
Oh, my God.
You see what I deal with? Even fucking medical professionals, I need to do their job. The writing's the easiest part of that gig.
That's crazy.
It is crazy.
Well, you know, there was one time when I was in the hospital for a surgery, and one of the problems that I always have is I always tend to have abdominal surgeries, and I always tend to spike a high fever. And so when, because I knew this, as back in the day, because these were years ago, I used to get groggy as shit from the anesthesia, and you wouldn't, like, snap out of it for days. Like now, you're fine the next day, but it used to be like it was like wearing a bubble helmet around your head. You didn't know what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I had surgery, and I remember asking in the middle of the night, they were taking my temperature. I'm like, what's my temperature? And she said 103, and I was like, oh, and then, you know, I figured, well, they know that's bad. They'll take care of shit. In the morning, the doctor came in. He read my chart. He goes, oh, you didn't spike a fever last night. And I'm like, yeah, I did. I had 103. I asked her. They didn't write it down.
What is wrong? This is why you got to bother them. They're not good at what they do.
Well, you know what? No, they are busy and stuff doesn't get written down, but that's why you have to be an advocate. You have to bother. You have to ask questions. You have to look at stuff and go, what is that? Look it up. What does that mean? Why are you doing it that way? I know they don't like that, but tough shit.
Well, there's the old Seinfeld episode about Elaine, where Elaine got banned from doctors because they kept on writing shit in her chart.
Yes, because she kept being a pain. I know.
Because she kept on, like, asking them questions.
I know. It's, you know, those, and I saw that one, and I think that's funny, but those days are gone. They have to suck it up and tolerate our questions these days.
But I think we are pretty much encountering every profession I deal with, I run into incompetence.
Well, I've been finding this. I mean, my father was sick for about 8 years before he finally passed in 91. And I was young, but I was learning that you had to keep on top of what were they talking about, what did it all mean, and I especially that because my father was the ill one, that I had to try to be with him when the doctors talked to him as much as humanly possible because he would forget stuff.
Right.
You know, and it's like you can't be, when you're that ill or you're like groggy or, you know, not quite yourself, you can't be your own, you know, advocate. You have to have somebody stand there and go, now what is that now? Write that down for me. I'm going to go look that up, and I'm going to have questions later.
Yeah, doctors really like to use medical terms, and I got to be honest, I don't like to ask. I'm just like, uh-huh. I'm like, I don't know. I figure if it's important enough, they'll fucking give me a test or medicine. Otherwise, I'm just like, yeah, whatever. Like, I know what the hell they're talking about.
I know. Well, you know what? You find yourself, like, nodding your, like, cocking your head like the RCA Victrola dog, you know?
Yeah.
And then you go, all right, they're talking over me. I don't know if it's just habit or they're trying to just get away with shit and not have me ask questions because I'm afraid they'll look stupid. Guess what? Anybody who listens to the show knows I'm not afraid of looking stupid. I'm going to ask.
No, you're not. You're a hero, I tell you.
I am the hero of the stupid. No, that's somebody else. But
yeah,
I am going to ask.
Yeah, it's good. So they, So this nurse says, well, there's a chance you might have the test tonight. He doesn't get the test till Friday morning.
Oh, my God.
So he's had double vision since Tuesday, still has double vision, has been in their ER since Wednesday. Friday morning he has the test.
Oh, my God. So what happened?
So he did not have a stroke. Dodged
Thank
that
God.
Bullet. And apparently did not have a blocked artery. Apparently,
that's even better.
They thought he burst a blood vessel in his eye, which made me make the joke. Well, I guess he liked Wonder Woman a lot, but the blood rushed to the wrong head. So
he was,
by the way, he was thrilled to get out of there on Friday. It was like,
no kidding.
Home was like the fucking Bahamas. Well, he doesn't like the Bahamas. Home was like fucking Gettysburg. You know, someplace historical. You know. He was thrilled to be out of there. I saw him on Sunday. He's fine. He went to the ophthalmologist on Monday, and I guess the doctor thinks that he like did something, a muscle in his eye, like by the carotid arteries, like in spasm or something. So he thinks it'll work itself out like in a month or so.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
that's so weird.
He dodged a bullet. But it made me realize this whole episode, it was quite scary for me. First of all, you know, what's going on with my dad?
Of course.
But I'm like, you know, just dealing with this with my parents, like, fuck. I'm at the point where I got to handle shit now for them. It's that point.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, you know, everybody goes through this. I'm just going through it now.
Right. No, everybody takes their turn.
Right. Where, well, you know, unless, you know, your parents die young or something and, you know, you're a kid. But, you know, if you know, you're lucky enough where you age and your parents age, yeah, you deal with this. It's like, oh, fuck, I have, but they don't listen. That's demanding, but they don't fucking listen.
They don't listen. Oh, please. If I had a nickel for every time my mom was like, oh, you're going to bring me to the eye doctor because I can't see. Okay, Mom, well, they got to dilate your eye. No way. They can't do that. I'm not getting that done. Well, that's the only way they can check you. I don't want my eyes dilated. For fuck's sake, why are we here?
It's just...
Well, then you're going to go home and you're going to see blurry again. What do you want from me? Oh, what a pain in the ass.
The two fucking stubborn. I said to my mother, I go, the two of you are being selfish. I'm going to have to get the jaws of life to drag your carcasses out of the house, and it's very inconvenient.
You're inconveniencing me.
Yes, that's what I said to my mother. My mother started laughing. She's like, you're so crude. It's very cruel and crude, but it's funny.
Good for her.
Yeah.
It's both, but hilarious.
Yeah, it's like, come on. Well, listen, why you got to make the last year so difficult on me?
You're so, you know, a lot of people feel that way, but they don't have the nerve to say it.
Where are they going? They got nowhere to go.
No, but I mean, like, you know, they'll be like, oh, my God, you know, it's like they're doing all this stuff or they, you know, whatever is going on. They're making stuff difficult for me. Have you seen that attic? Holy crap. What am I going to do?
Oh, my God. That looms. Not the I'm going to have. Let's put it.
I know.
It fucking scares the shit out of me. Here's what a lot of people might not realize about me. Sometimes I don't have the most patience.
I'm sorry. What was that now?
Well, like, even you and my dealings with you. And when you get...
Oh, I knew I was going to get it at some point.
No, but no, I'm not in a bad way. I'm not throwing you in the barrel. This is on me. But like...
Okay.
But like, when you get sick... I know you're not doing it on purpose, but it fucking annoys me. And it shouldn't annoy me. Other people's health should not annoy me. But I, like, it's a fucking affront to me. That
I know. Well, you know what? You should have been here to hold my hair when I was puking my guts up on Sunday.
No. You never licked my Sharpay. I never hold your hair. Them's the rules.
Wait a minute. I don't see how that. Well, yeah, that is a fair exchange.
Exactly.
That was nasty.
You got a Mr. Helix there. It's his fucking gig.
Oh, no. You know, do you know what? When the Holocaust began.
The Holocaust?
Yes, it was.
Never forget.
Oh, it was.
Never forget.
No, I'll never forget. I don't think I can eat any of those things that I ate the day before ever again.
You will. I felt the same way because when I had it, and it was like tuna fish, and I love tuna fish. I guess I can't eat tuna fish again. No, you can. Once your stomach gets right, like in a couple of weeks, you'll be fine.
Yeah, okay, because I was just like, oh, yeah, there's that, and oh, yeah, that. No, never want to see that again.
Guess I won't be sucking cock.
Luckily, that wasn't on the menu that morning.
Can
so
you imagine?
Mr. Helix is still in luck.
Everybody's a loser with this illness. I think you're jizz curdled, sir. It's made me ill.
Not pretty. But anyway, he wasn't gone to work yet, and he was in his man cave down the hall, and he was drinking some coffee and looking at stuff on the internet.
Porn.
And he heard what was going on, but only like in a distance. He thought it was one of the cats growling.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, it's very unsettling to other people's tum-tums when you hear somebody retching in close proximity.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I would have stayed far away from that. I was in the right place. I was doing what I had to do. Stay the hell away. There's nothing you could do at that point anyway.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. Like, if I'm, like, going to be, like, really ill, if I have time, I try to get myself some distance and insulate it so I can be sick in peace and not bother everybody else. I'm very considerate that way.
I was trying. I didn't go, you know, hey, Mr. Helix, get over here for a front seat, you know, view of this. I left him alone, you know, and then he goes, aren't you going to work? And I'm like, no, I'm really sick. I was just throwing up. He goes, oh my God, I thought that was a cat.
And I like, stepped in it. And I stepped in it. Ew.
Yeah, because you generally, the cats don't do that in the toilet, and they don't flush after.
No.
That was your first clue.
Talked about time and time again the difference between cats and human beings. A human being is puking. You will rush to get them a paper towel or a garbage pill. Make sure they're okay. You will bring whatever needs to be brought to them if a human being is sick. If a cat pukes, they become a flying cat. They need to get the fuck off the bed. That's pretty much what it – listen, cat, I know you're wheezing and you don't feel well, but fuck it. That's my sweater. You need to fly.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
No, he was really good. He went to the store for me and got me ginger ale.
Oh, I do that shit too.
What I asked for.
I do that shit too. But still, I know this, especially when it comes to my parents. I don't have patience. And I don't have patience for people who are – like, I have friends who have, like, chronic stomach problems. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? We can never do anything because you're sick. What is wrong with you? Like, it's an attack on me. And it's
– I know. It's like they're inconveniencing you. How fucking dare they?
That's how I look at you. Yes.
I know.
And by the way, I was very good today about it. I didn't
– You were.
I didn't grill. I just said, okay, feel better, you know.
Because I could have given you, like, a full-on treatment of what was going on.
No, I didn't go, well, again, well, of course, it's Tuesday. I didn't do any of that shit.
I know.
I showed restraint. Because trust me, my first inclination was to fucking lash out. That was the first.
I know, because you're fucking evil. That's why.
Perhaps.
Yes.
I don't know.
You're not patient with illness.
I'm not.
I'm glad you're not a nurse.
No, I wouldn't be a good nurse. I'd be a good nurse once. You wouldn't come back.
Maybe you'd take care of things. People would be like, bedside manner sucks on the card.
Yes, I'm not good at that. But at least I realized my shortcomings.
Well, now, how does Mrs. Davin feel about how you treat her when she's ill?
Oh, I take care of her. I'll run out and get stuff. I'm actually happy being out of the house.
Well, do you complain at her about, like, messing up your plan?
No, she's not doing a show with me. She's fine.
Well, I mean, is that what it is?
I mean, it was inconvenient when I bought her, like, a second pair of police tickets to go to see the police concert, and she got sick at the last minute. We had to give those away. But, you know, you can't lash in that much because they live with you. But, you know, I was annoyed. I'm like, really? What the fuck? Suck it up. Because you know me. I'll play hurt. I don't give a shit.
It's not quite the same thing.
I know, but I don't miss things. Like, I've performed. I got my Comedy Central thing when I had, like, 103 fever. It's like, I just plow through, but I get it. Not everybody can do that.
Yeah. I mean, if it was something like that, yes. But the thing is, you have to factor in. I always factor in, how am I going to feel driving up and how am I going to feel driving back? And it's like, that factors into my time when I'm going to go do the show or not. But I also do factor in the Cumia principle, which is if I think that I'm going to deliver the bubonic fudge brownie cake, I stay stay back.
Nobody's eating your baked goods. We've established that long ago.
Yes.
But yeah, so I know that's not a show, and I've always been that way. I don't know why. I just don't have the patience. But you know what? But when I'm sick, I don't want anybody to wait on me either. You know, I'm fine. Leave me alone.
Actually, I want a minimum amount of help, and then I want to be left alone.
Yeah.
Like, I want somebody to just go, stick their head in and go, you need anything? And if the answer is no, get the fuck out.
Yeah.
But
I don't want to talk. I don't want you to keep on checking on me. I just want to lay and die.
Yeah. That was pretty much Sunday and Monday into this morning. Now, I'm feeling like somewhat better, but still not great.
See, my mom is the opposite. My mom, if she's sick, she wants to make a fucking production about it. You know?
No, those people do that.
You can't do enough for her. And that clashes with just like the complete opposite of me. It's like, yeah. How come you don't ask me how I'm feeling? But because you're always sick. I just assume going in.
I think that I'm mostly pretty self-sufficient. Like, I didn't bother Mr. Helix one bit. The only thing I asked for him was, could he go out and get, because we didn't have any, could you get me ginger ale and Gatorade?
Yep, that's the standard shit. You got to get that. I do that, too. Got to get it.
Yeah, it's like, and he was like, oh, yeah, like, yeah, sure, you know. But, it's like, that's all. It's like, okay, give me my stuff. All right, now I shall go crawl off and die and leave you alone.
Listen, honey, I'm going to run out. I'm going to get the ginger ale, the Gatorade, and a hooker for myself. Because let's be honest, you're on the DL, and there's no reason why I should suffer. I'll see you in a half hour.
And you know what? I would respect that.
Sure. You don't care. He's out of your hair.
I don't care, and there's nothing I can do for you or want to do with you. I don't want anybody to friggin' touch me.
Exactly. Drop off the Canada Dry and the Fruit Punch Gatorade and have your fun in the other room.
Exactly. And don't be too loud because I'm going to try to sleep.
Exactly. Tell that bitch she doesn't have to bother faking it. We'd prefer if she wouldn't.
Change your sheets yourself. That's all I ask.
Exactly.
Don't make me touch that.
It's up to you to kick the cats out of the room. Not my issue tonight.
It's actually kind of funny when the cats come and visit during the day because they're like, what the hell are you doing here?
No, cats that love you are very good at hanging out with you if you're sick.
Yeah, they do. They know.
Yeah.
They were doing rounds.
Yeah.
They were taking turns.
Yeah.
Making sure that I was still breathing.
Listen, Toots, you're a food source here. We're going to keep you alive. We are not mousing type of cats.
Yeah, we're going to make sure that we don't smother this one. Remember? Everybody, team, listen up. No smothering. This is where the food comes from.
To paraphrase Bill Maher, we're house cats.
Oh, yes they are. Oh, God. I see what you did there.
You did.
She said, hanging her head.
So I went to see Neil Diamond the other night.
You did go.
I wanted to see because I realized there's a lot of songs. He has a lot of hits that I actually enjoy.
Okay.
We had.
Where was this? This was in Bethel?
No, this was Madison Square Garden.
Oh, okay.
Now, you and I and Joe had discussed on the air, and you had all agreed that we would go see Neil Diamond together. We all made that. After I whipped out one of his greatest hits, you're like, all right, there's a lot of good tunes there. I guess. We all agreed.
Oh, no. I don't think that I said, oh, yeah, there's a lot of good tunes there. I went,
No. You agreed.
Look at the record.
Well, we have the record.
I was as enthusiastic as you think I was.
But you had agreed.
I did, and I lied, I guess.
You fucking lied. That's why you're ill now.
I am being smitten. I'm smote. I don't know the past tense of that. Whatever happened, God smite me for not going to Neil Diamond. I own it.
All right, hopefully he's listening. We can only hope. Prayers be answered.
Ever since Neil played a cantor in a movie, I know he's got a direct line upstairs. So
sure.
I should have been playing it a little bit more careful.
So he was going to be up here. I asked you. I texted you. And you said no when I called you a liar.
I said, I admit it.
But now, you didn't own it when I texted you.
Oh, no, I did.
So, and I did.
I said to you, and I'll go back to the videotape. I said, I guess I lied.
So you're a lying whore. And,
yeah.
And I didn't bother Joe because Joe's got a lot of things going on.
So, oh God, he probably would have hurt you.
Nah, I'm fine. Trust me. He doesn't have the cardio stamina to fucking hurt me. Who are you kidding? Look at him. So, but I didn't bother him because I know Joe's got a lot going on. So, okay.
Yeah.
I mentioned it to somebody else, and they couldn't go. And believe it or not, I mentioned it to my wife. My wife, in her old age, is not into concerts anymore, but this one kind of interested her.
Okay.
She's like, yeah, I'll go see Neil Diamond. Okay.
Did you just sneak by in her old age?
Yeah, she's got a birthday coming up.
in her old age. She's going to hurt you.
It's not here.
I'm going to watch.
It's not here.
Anyway.
It's not here. It's
fine. Okay.
She don't fucking listen to the replay that I'm aware of.
That's true.
Yeah. She'll, like, listen by the basement door, you know, like a fucking creep, but, you know.
What's she listening for?
To hear what we're talking about, but she ain't here. So, anyway.
Okay.
So, she said she would go. And then a buddy comes through, and he gets me free tickets to see him at Madison Square Garden.
No way. That's awesome.
Free Neil Diamond tickets.
Good for you.
Yeah. So, we were side-ass view. So, side view, slightly behind Neil, not on floor level, but on the first floor. Have you been to Madison Square Garden?
Oh, yeah.
So, we were, like, in the 100s on the side.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, not bad at all. Not bad at all. There was actually more younger people than I expected to be there.
Really? Like, young meaning how much?
Younger than me.
Wow.
Hey, listen, for that group, for that age group, I'm fucking young.
Yeah, that's true.
Listen, when I go to these concerts, I still think I'm young. It's okay. I don't know why.
Because when you see a lot of white hair, you go, hey, I'm chipper.
Yeah, so really, my whole illusion of youth is based on the color of my follicles. That's really what it comes down to.
Hey, you know, we've tried to keep this a clean show a little bit. Yes. Oh, follicles, never mind.
Follicles. So he's going to, there's no opening act. He's going to do 2 hours, which is pretty good for a guy who's 76 years old.
Yeah.
No intermission.
Damn. He's trying to show up Paul McCartney, huh?
Paul did 2 hours, didn't he?
He does close to that, at least.
A little short.
I don't know. He's 5'11".
Right. Anyway. So he's got two female backup singers. And he's got like a 12 or 13 piece band. It's a lot of
wow.
fun. It's a big band.
Yeah, big horn section. Is that it?
He's got horns. He's got a bongo player. He's got drums. He's got two guitarists, father and son guitarists. He's got a lot going on. He's got a piano player and a keyboardist who also plays the accordion. So, a lot of instrumentation with Mr. Diamond.
So, now once he gets through all the instrumentation, is it good?
Get in there. You know how these things go.
I know.
Can't rush it.
No. You have to let it settle like a fine wine.
Exactly. Red wine. And we're also waiting for fucking Joe to show up, so I gotta go a little slower than I would.
Oh, okay.
You know. Stupid should be here any minute, right? So, yeah. So the band starts. The band's playing for a little bit, and then he comes out. Mr. Diamond is not moving swiftly.
Oh, really?
He's not running around the stage. He's walking all over the place.
Right.
Kind of shuffling along. You know, he walks.
Shuffling through America.
Today. Enough already. And, but, you know, he plays the whole stage. He goes to the front, obviously. The sides all the way to the back. Because they actually sold some seats behind the stage.
Oh, wow.
So he's walking the whole area. He's talking to everybody, you know. So... But he's not moving swiftly. He's blowing kisses to the audience. he opened up with Cherry Cherry. You know Cherry Cherry, right?
Yeah.
You like that song?
See, the thing is, all of his songs, I'm so tired of hearing them.
That's not his fault.
No.
It's an upbeat song.
Yeah.
You know, I liked it. And then there are, I realized there's a lot of his songs that I do not know.
I probably am in the same boat.
I think he also played, like, some obscure songs. So I think there were hits of his that I didn't realize. Like, I didn't realize Red Wine was his.
Oh, I didn't either.
No, UB40 covered it in the 80s, and that's how I knew it. But that's,
and that's the one that I'm more familiar with.
Right. Daydream Believer, he wrote that and gave it to the Monkees.
Oh.
Yeah. So the guy's quite prolific. But he's also played some songs that I never heard. I did enjoy seeing some old white women dancing oddly. Or at least I think they thought they were dancing.
I knew there'd be a lot of that.
They're like flapping their arms. I don't know if they were dancing or it was electroshock. I don't know what the fuck was going on. But it did amuse me. Let's see. I'm just trying to look at my notes here. It was probably the most mellow concert I've been to since Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Well, that's folk music, so you'd imagine.
Right.
They don't usually raise a ruckus at a folk concert.
And that I went to because my mom couldn't make it, so my dad asked me if I wanted to go. I'm like, sure, I like Puff the Magic Dragon.
Yeah, I bet you do.
That's the only song of theirs I knew, but there might have been one or two others. But so, yeah, this is like a mellow concert. Even, did I say Paul McCartney was kind of mellow for me?
I don't remember that. It was?
No, I mean, I enjoyed it, but, I was coming off Guns N' Roses.
Oh, right. Then, yeah. Well, in comparison to that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the concerts I go to usually have, they have a harder edge to them.
Yeah, I know.
But, I figure, unfortunately, a lot of these artists, these iconic artists aren't going to be here much longer, so I should go and see them.
Well, that's what I figure about a lot of them, but some of them I will not subject myself to again in this life.
Right, I got you. See, he did Sweet Caroline, which, that gets everybody singing along. Everybody loves Sweet Caroline.
Yeah, everybody knows that one.
Let's see. He did Cracklin' Rosie, of course. He closed with Coming to America, which he dedicated to the military. I think that song is actually my favorite song of his, Coming to America.
Really?
It's kind of schlocky. I get it.
It's kind of like an anthem, but a lot of his songs are kind of like anthems. They build and I mean there's a certain thing to that. I mean, Lisa said back in the day Neil had an edge.
Did he?
Yeah, it's been a while.
the same way Robin's egg has an edge, Lisa.
Are you saying that what she said is nonsensical because what you did said is?
I don't know. I mean, I know, I guess at one point he was known as the Jewish Elvis, so I guess.
I don't know that. I know that when my brother was a little kid, he used to listen to him. And big Papa Pump, as you might remember.
Big Pippa Pump.
Long-time listeners.
Big Pippa Pump. Big Pippa Pump.
And was he Big Papa?
Oh, was he Big Papa?
Big Papa Pump.
Okay. Yeah.
Because Peppa is me.
Yeah. Yes, you are.
Anyway, so...
My angry wife when I talk to scammers.
Yes, that's right. And,
who shot
so
me?
He tends to do things to death when he likes them. Or at least he did when he was a teenager.
I could see that.
God help me, I heard a lot of Neil Diamond back in the day.
Wow, you know what? There were no cool kids listening to Neil Diamond.
I know. And I rest my case.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was like a middle schooler, I guess, but it drove me insane.
Yeah, no cool. I mean, I didn't listen. It's only as I'm sliding like an old man into a lukewarm bath into my old age that I'm starting to embrace some of this shit.
I know.
And openly. Well, openly, where I say it on a radio show. So,
Well, but, yeah, because you just don't care.
No, I don't care. But this was a slowed down version of Coming to America. It was just like a skosh slower.
Right.
I didn't like it as much.
It was slowing to America.
Yeah, I mean, I think
today.
All right, we weren't playing on like on the wrong speed.
That's what I imagined.
No, but it was just like a slower tempo. But like a lot of times they'll drop down a key. Or chord, whatever the fuck it's called. Like these singers who can't hit the high notes anymore, they'll adjust the songs. So I guess that.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the last song of 2 hours. I get it. But, probably my favorite song of his. And,
Well, that's the thing, is that a lot of people do those show business tricks, with, you know, bring it down a key and things, do different things to keep their voice working for the song, because, right, you know, not everybody has these little choir boy voices anymore.
Yeah.
Wait until we hear what we sound like in our 70s. Good Lord.
Well, I mean, he left out some hits, though. He left out Suleiman. You know Suleiman.
No, I don't.
Girl, You'll Be a Woman Soon. Everybody knows that from Pulp Fiction.
Ugh.
He left out Shiloh.
What's that one like?
I'm not going to sing it for you.
No, well, what's it sort of like?
I don't know. It's fucking ask your brother.
I don't know what that is. But anyway, okay. What else did he leave out?
He left out He's Not Heavy, He's My Brother. I love that song. It's a slow song.
He wrote that?
Yeah, I think so. You have the machine. It's on his greatest hits. I would think he did.
The Osmonds made a big hit out of that.
But
who was it that made a big hit out of that? I'm going to have to look it up.
Maybe it was Neil Diamond. But you know that song, right?
Yeah.
You like that song?
Yeah, he's all right. That's all right.
By the way, great for fat denial, by the way. He's not heavy. He's my brother. What the fuck does that mean? Look at him. He's 550 pounds. He's a fat piece of shit. No, he's my brother.
The Hollies were the ones that were famous for that.
Okay, who wrote it?
Let's see. Artists, the Hollies.
They wrote it?
Let me see who wrote it.
Because Neil Diamond was writing a ton of shit in the early 60s, and he was writing for other bands.
Yeah, no, I know. That's the thing, is that you might know songs by the artist that did them, but not necessarily by who wrote them.
Right.
Okay, I'm going to... He Ain't Heavy. Who wrote He Ain't Heavy? He's my brother. He's a little pudgy, but he ain't heavy.
He's not heavy. It's a thyroid problem.
Don't you dare say anything.
He's got a bad temper. He's not heavy.
He ain't heavy.
He's not heavy. He's a fat fuck.
That's the other brother. This is written by somebody... two guys called Bobby Scott and Bob Russell.
Oh, there you go. Well, I don't know. He sang it, and he didn't play it.
He didn't write it.
I don't know. I'm not your brother. I'm not a Neil Diamond expert. I have a greatest hits album like any superficial fan should. And
I think that he had a greatest hits album, and that was it.
Who?
My brother.
Oh.
He didn't. He wasn't like a super fan. It's just that whatever album he had, he played to death.
Oh, that's fucking obnoxious.
Oh, God, yes.
Ugh.
Yes. There are certain albums that I start to, like, go into a seizure if it starts playing.
So, I thought he sounded fine.
Okay.
My wife said his voice is shot and was kind of talk singing.
Okay.
You know what that is? What is that? He's not heavy. He's my brother. Is that talk singing?
Yes, I know. Oh, yes, Sinatra devolved into that when he got older.
Yeah, I guess. And a lot of the reviews said the same thing about him. He's kind of talk singing now.
Yeah, some of them start doing that because they can't quite make the notes, and they can't hold the notes for as long. It happens. Hey, if I'm 76, I'll be glad to be breathing.
Well, you know, I said to my wife, because, you know, I mean, we enjoyed the concert. There was boring parts. I said to my wife, I go, again, you're used to Aerosmith and seeing Steven Tyler run around like an animal. And he's smart enough to have, like, background singers that can hit those high notes for him.
Yes, yes. That's a lot of times what they do, is that they get other people to help cover, you know, the lesser parts of their voice now.
But I felt like I noticed it with Paul McCartney, because I think I said it to you a little bit.
Yeah.
But
I did.
I didn't really notice it with Neil Diamond, and I just think it's because the type of songs they have or the quality of their voice.
Maybe, but I did notice it with Paul McCartney, and I'm so sorry to say this, but it just, there was little bits where he sounded like, you know, that old man stretching for a note. I wish he would bring it down a little, or sometimes don't go for the high note, go for, you know, a middle note or something. Rearrange the melody.
Maybe it was rearranged. Maybe that's what we heard. We heard the rearranged version. Imagine what it would have been otherwise.
No, I know Beatles songs like the back of my hand, and he would keep going for the note. And it's like, dude, if you can't hit that note, please stop reaching for it. Stop. Oh, it's painful.
McCartney's voice is getting thin.
It is. I mean, he's amazing, you know, all things considered. But it pains me when I hear them struggling. That I struggle, too. I, like, mentally bend the note up for them. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
You know?
So.
Another one Lisa brought up, You Don't Bring Me Flowers. Did you mention that one?
He did that. He did that. Interesting. Well, now, he got famous for doing that with Barbara Streisand.
Yeah.
So, they didn't have one of his female singers play Barbara's part, which he could have.
Well, originally, he sang the whole song, and she sang the whole song, and there was a DJ that put them together made it a duet.
I did not know that.
Yeah, that's how it happened.
He had his saxophone player playing Barbara Streisand.
I'm sorry, what?
Like doing the notes, like playing the instrumentation.
Oh.
Which is kind of an interesting choice.
It is an interesting choice. I don't know if I would have liked that because you want to hear the words.
Yeah.
Because it is a duet the way most people know it. But, yeah, you know, if whatever. Sure, it worked okay.
It was fine. No one, I mean, nobody I knew was bitching, but I wasn't really asking.
Hey, did you lean around other people go, that sax part right there, is that working for you?
No, but I'm glad it just reminded me of something. I am having a bad run of luck with sitting next to people. I'm fucking sitting next to this guy, and he's got the hairiest fucking arms. Yeah, his arm hair is tickling me. Get you? When you got like, the Amazon on your forearm, you don't get the armrest. That's not the way this shit works. You have to recognize. You wear long sleeves if you want the armrest. You can't be a hairy beast out in public and command an armrest. It's wrong.
I knew a guy. Oh, looked like he was wearing a sweater in the summer. Oh, just. It's... He can't help it, but oh my God.
I understand. I understand.
Don't let it touch me.
Right, but I mean, what do you say? Excuse me, your arm hairs are tickling me?
Yeah. I don't know, do you?
I didn't. You know, when it comes to these situations, I'm really just a little bitch, and it's a problem.
Well, you know which one really surprised me? The one where the guy was putting his arms around you and clapping his hand and singing off key in your ear.
Oh, Samir Coverdale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Samir would have gotten a speaking to early into the proceedings had that been happening to me.
You're right. You're right. When it comes to these situations, I'm a pussy.
I mean, one of these days we are going to go to a show together and somebody's going to do something that is annoying me and I'm going to embarrass you because I'm going to lay them out.
But secretly, I'll be pleased that you did.
That's what ends up happening is because nobody will say anything, and I'll be the one, hey, you, shut it.
No, it's good. You need somebody who's going to stand up for the invaded space. It's good. Good for you.
Well, the invaded space or somebody who's, like, keeps talking through the thing, and everybody's turning around looking at them, and they're not getting the hint. And, you know, it's not like it's Broadway where some usher's going to come over and shine a light in your face. It's a concert, so they don't care that this person's going yap 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 during it. It's like,
yeah, but
I want to hurt you.
In my defense, the last two situations, I don't know what you can't yell at somebody for being fat, and you can't yell at somebody for having hairy arms.
No, you really can't.
So
you kind of have to suck it up.
All right, so I'm not as big of a pussy. The Samir Coverdale, clearly I would have been within my rights, but other people were looking at this spectacle too, and like, what the fuck do we do with him? So it wasn't just me.
If he was taking over the whole armrest, I might have been like, excuse me, can you give me a little room?
You know, I don't know. I mean, that's the thing with armrests. You don't know who claims it, but...
Yeah.
But if you have, like, hairy arms that are, like, sticking out... Because a hairy arm can be matted down, but these...
I'm sensitive about it, goddammit. We've already talked about this.
I mean, what do you do? You can't sneak a razor into Madison Square Garden.
Oh, what that you could.
It's just...
Can you imagine you start lathering the guy up next to you?
Yeah.
This is bothering me. I have to take care of this now.
And another thing, it's a fucking concert. Stop getting up back and forth. Not him. Other people. Stop getting up back and forth. And one of them goes, oh, well, we had to get up sometime. No, you didn't. Sit down, you whore.
For some people, that's a long time. Have you seen the commercials with the little bladder tugging on people?
These weren't particularly old people.
No, it doesn't matter. Yeah, you can't judge by old. And also, you know, they're drinking beer. Once the seal's broken, they're going to be up, down, up, down.
Well, don't try to make small talk like it's okay.
Yeah, it's not okay.
Apologize and say, I'm sorry, and go.
Yeah.
And then I'll give you a little polite half smile, fucking secretly cursing underneath my breath but not saying anything. But don't make a little fucking joke about it. Just get the fuck out.
Lisa says, sit your ass down.
Right! Right! I need to go with you guys to concerts. Oh, well, I tried with Pip, but...
We've gone to concerts and had just a fine time.
We have, because people know not to fuck with us when you're around. You're my bouncer.
I must have a puss on my face that scares them.
Yeah, if you play your cards right, you might.
I see what you did there.
I most certainly did. So, in closing, I did not see any Neil Diamond counterfeit shirts.
Oh, there were no ball shirts?
No sweaty ball shirts.
Wait a minute. I'm surprised. Were there any shirts at all?
Not outside, but in the concession, sure.
No, but in the concession, there's Neil Diamond merch.
Of course there's Neil Diamond merch. All sorts of merch.
I mean,
he's a fucking Jew. You don't think he's going to take advantage of the opportunity? What is wrong with you?
No, of course he is. I mean, everybody does. Why not? I just, you know, I was just picturing myself wearing a Neil Diamond shirt, and I scrubbed the vision from my head.
Hello, Joe.
Hi.
Well, then, this is the final question before we take the break. You mentioned a very harsh reaction to a Neil Diamond shirt. Now, I did not purchase said Neil Diamond shirt, but I would have been confronted if there was a ball shirt outside, a $10 ball sweat Neil Diamond shirt, because you know my love of concert shirts and bargains. Could I pull off the Neil Diamond concert shirt?
No!
That was resounding.
Would you want to wear a Neil Diamond concert shirt?
Sure. I think. I don't know.
Seems like you're a little on the fence with that.
I am. I mean, because even like I'll wear my Billy Joel concert shirt sometimes, and I'll wear that on stage. I'm like, I don't know if this is really the right image. I mean, I love Billy Joel, but is that really the right image?
It's not your usual image, that's for one, but it's like, no, don't wear the Neil Diamond anything, no.
So Neil Diamond is a Jew too far. I could not.
Oh, God.
I would have to cut ties from the tribe and not support is what you're saying. Although technically buying from the counterfeit guy isn't really supporting anyway.
No, it's not.
Well, I'm supporting the ball sweat guys.
Yeah.
Joe, could I pull off a Neil Diamond concert shirt?
No.
I wear Bon Jovi shirts.
Yeah, but Neil Diamond's not Bon Jovi.
I know. I still feel a little weird wearing my Bon Jovi shirts for some reason. I still have the trauma from like when he was coming up in the 80s, people mocking me.
I didn't even know. I had no clue that was liking Bon Jovi was, you know.
That was your Rod Stewart. Yeah. That's what it was. They both had rumors of jizz. They both had rumors of jizz in their tummies, and now it's fucking Nickelback.
There was a Bon Jovi rumor going on?
Yeah! In 87, when I was in the 7th grade, John Bon Jovi's in the hospital. He's got jizz in his fucking stomach.
And he pumped out his stomach, and it was 9 quart. Yeah, like,
the same the shit Stewart they did with Rod story. Stewart. They just gave it to John Bon. They both had feathered hair. Why not? But yeah, that was.
Oh
just,
my God!
But I was.
I didn't know
Bon
that
Jovi.
One.
Yeah,
you were worried about Bon Jovi.
What?
You were worried
I know,
about
I said
Bon Jovi?
I was right about it. He came around. Now he's
oh,
a rock icon.
Oh! I thought you said you were worried about.
No, I didn't even own an album then of his. Right. But I, you know, I knew this was going on, and I didn't believe it.
Yeah.
That sounds like some really bad medicine. I don't know what's going on with this man.
Yes. So, yeah, no, I didn't believe the Rod Stewart one. I don't believe the Bon Jovi.
Yeah, that was
one
ridiculous
either.
Back then.
Yes.
So I could not have pulled off the Neil Diamond shirts.
No. You go to the concert. Neil Diamond's great. You have a good time at the show, kick back, watch the show, sing along to the songs. But when you leave the show, you shan't be getting a T-shirt.
I did not invite you because of everything that was going on. That's why I didn't.
I had no time.
That's why I did not notify you.
I'm going to Rammstein, though, on Sunday.
I told you about the concert.
I know. Thank you again.
You're welcome. We might have Nickelback coming up, too.
That I'll put in the consider pile.
We talked about that.
I understand. Yeah, you're forcing me to go.
I'm not forcing you to go. I'm not to fucking go. You said you wanted to go. Don't fucking do me any favors. Fuck you. You're out. I don't give a shit. Could I pull off a Nickelback shirt?
Yes. And I would wear a Nickelback shirt. Nickelback is a great band.
I understand that, but there's a stigma that goes with them.
I understand. Now, Winger was a great band, too. Matter of fact, we're Fragile Sky. We're opening up for Kip Winger in October, so we're stoked about that.
And sure, he's pinching himself.
I'm sure. Well, I am, because it's one off the bucket list for me, because I think great musician, great band.
He is way too sexy to share a stage with you. He is a good-looking man.
Well, yeah.
We're
not doing a duet, stupid, at the end.
I mean, you wish.
I wish. I didn't wish.
He dreamily looks at you and calls you on stage.
All right, stop reading into my mind.
Exactly.
Mind your own business.
He made this scruff look fucking real, man. Like, I got a little bit of a scruff going on. Kip was rocking. But he made it like, he was dreaming.
Oh, he was a dreamboat.
He most certainly was.
The girls loved him.
Yeah, well.
Except Beavis and Butthead.
And then that ended his career.
Yeah.
But anyway. All right, so I guess it's good that I did not get the Neil Diamond shirt. That was not there. All right, let's take our first break. We are late as it is. When we come back, some violent speech, some great debates of absurdity. We'll find out Joe's housing situation, and some Jane. Plenty more shows.